Joel, continue that. Joel 3, verses 19 through 21. It says, Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for their violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall remain and be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. And I will cleanse and hold as innocent their blood and avenge it. Blood which I have not cleansed, held innocent and avenged, for the Lord dwells in Zion. The Lord dwells in Zion. That's a shame. People can save themselves so much pain and misery if they would just believe what God says in His Word. One day soon, all these Jew haters, all these Israel bashers, they're going to be forced to acknowledge that they were deceived by their own Gentile pride and racism. They're going to be forced that Jesus Himself is the biggest Zionist of them all. To their utter horror and amazement, they're going to see the Lord dwelling in literal Zion as well as in spiritual Zion. Once the people of Israel have been purged, God's going to dwell in literal Zion. And in the Spirit, He's going to dwell in the sons of God. And these people are going to see it. And they're going to confess it as true. But it'll be too late to help them because they will have already sealed their own doom. Just as Egypt and Edom will be desolate in the natural, so they will be desolate spiritually, being cut off from the love of Christ forever because of their hatred of the Jews. Amos 9, 14 to 15. It says, I will bring back the exiles of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be torn up out of their land, which I gave them, says the Lord your God. Now, that's what the Bible says. So if Israel's destroyed, you can tear up your Bible, find yourself another religion, because God has said He will defend Israel. And no combination of armies, no Muslim, United Nations, nothing is going to move them once God has established them in the last days. One more scripture here from the Amplified. It's Daniel 12:1. It says, and at that time of the end, at the time of the end, Michael shall arise, the great angel prince who defends and has charge of your, that's Daniel's people, the Jews. And there shall be a time of trouble, straitness, and distress, such as was never since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book as the book of God's plan for his own. Okay. Now when the King James says stand up, at that time Michael shall stand up. And when the Bible talks about a high angelic being of rank like that standing up, it's saying he's going to be alert. He's going to be ready for action. You know, in this case, Michael the archangel is going to suddenly stand up in heaven to take personal charge of defending Israel in some way. You know, he's going to marshal the armies of heaven to aid God's people. And as the survival of Israel hangs in the balance in the very end, looks like it's going to be lost. And as the world sits there gloating because it looks like the Jewish problem is finally going to be solved, these Arab armies and everybody comes against Israel at that point are going to suddenly be facing Jesus, Michael the archangel, and all the armies of heaven. And there's going to be a great slaughter in that day. And what a day that's going to be. I hope I'm there. Unfortunately, the vast majority of God's people are not ready for that day because they're walking under the influence of humanism to one degree or another. When they look at people around them, people at their jobs, people in their stores, their acquaintances, and even their own family members who are not saved, they cannot see the beast that's inside those people. They don't see how ugly, rebellious, and wicked those people are. All they see is the external. But you see, God sees the internal. He sees behind the facade. He sees behind the mask of human goodness. And He sees the hatred that the people are now expressing for Him. He sees the hatred they have for true righteousness and for true holiness. And He's going to expose that hatred through judgment. The mask is going to come off. I want to read a couple of verses in Revelation that shows you this. Revelation 9, 18 through 21. It says, by these three was the third of man killed, third part of man killed, by fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of the mouth. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents that had each, these are the creatures that came out of the bottomless pit. The angel opens the bottomless pit, smoke comes out, now the smoke comes these creatures. And they're given power to kill a third of mankind. That's millions and millions of people, okay? Hundreds of millions, a billion, well, there's 7 billion or six, I forget how much, 7 billion yet? 6.5 billion people on the earth? Well, that's at least 2 billion people. All that describes these horrible creatures. It says, "Unto serpents' heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of men, the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold, and silver and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts." Okay, so in the midst of God's judgment, you would think people would turn around and repent. This is a horrible plague on mankind. A third of mankind dying. Millions, millions, billions of people are dying. And do people repent? No. Revelation 16, 8 through 11. This is the fourth and fifth angel. They're pouring out their vial upon the sun and the sea of the beast. It says, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory." This is God pouring the plagues out. And they recognize as God, and instead of repenting, they blasphemed him, because he has the power over them. "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the sea of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues with pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven, because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." Are you starting to get a picture of what's going on? In the end days, the nations rise up in hatred against God. And when God starts pouring out his wrath on this world, those who love the world are going to rise up and cursing. They're not going to repent. They're going to rise up and cursing. They're going to get more hard and more bitter with each plague. There is going to be no worldwide revival in the coming days. What there's going to be is a worldwide revolt against God, against the God who is judging them. There's going to be a worldwide hate fest and defiance against that God, right to his face. The more God judges a rebellion, the more they're going to hate and curse him. Revelation 16, 5 through 7. It says, "And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another angel out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." Revelation 19, 1 through 2 says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power in the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged a great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." Okay, and I've said this many times in this room, but it bears repeating. The next time the world sees Jesus Christ, he was going to have a sword in his hand and vengeance in his heart. He's not coming back as the babe in the manger or the good shepherd. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back to destroy all who have rebelled against him. And when he comes, we better make sure we're on his side. We better make sure that every ounce of humanism has been burned out of our emotions, burned out of our soul. Because if we start pitying the beast that he's slaughtering in that day, we will instantly become his enemy. And he will turn around and deal with us the same way he's dealing with them. So I got a question for everybody that hears my voice. Are you ready? Are you ready to say hallelujah when the Lord starts pouring out his wrath on the nations? Will you be able to say amen when his wrath is poured out on your fellow Americans and millions and millions and millions of Americans die? Will you be able to say amen when his wrath is poured out on your friends at work, or your associates, or your neighbors, or your own family members who are in rebellion? Or will you break down and cry when you see all the carnage, when you see the blood running in the streets? We're wimps, people. We are still wimps. I don't know if I'm ready yet, but I'm getting there, I'll tell you. Because if I'm still alive when that day comes, you can be sure I'll be yelling hallelujah. I'll be saying amen, Lord. Let them perish. Do unto them as they have done unto your people. Do unto them as they have done to the Jews. Do unto them as ends. I'm not going to be alone when I'm doing that. The angels and the saints in heaven will be saying hallelujah too. This world is evil. It deserves judgment. And judgment's on its way. And when it happens, we got to have the steel to say, praise God, your judgments are true and righteous. These people deserve what they're getting. Whether it's Americans, whether it's Iranians, whether it's your own family. It doesn't matter who it is. We got to be on God's side. And it does no good to try to explain that to the world. The world hates us already. So it doesn't matter if you go and say, no, I really don't want you guys to perish. I don't want to see you you know, and all the horrible things going to happen to you. I don't want to. I do. They deserve it. I agree with everything they say. I'm waiting for the apocalypse. I want to see it come. I want to see this world judged. I want to see the evildoers punished. I want to see the blood running on the streets from those who've killed God's people, from those who killed the Jews, and would do it again if they had a chance. They deserve to die, people. They deserve it. And when God comes to do it, we better be on His side. Amen. All right. Okay. That was it. Just want to encourage everybody, make sure there's no humanism left in there. Because God's come to judge and God's come to avenge. It's only going to be one day. His mercy abides forever. His mercy's been here since the day of the Garden of Eden. His mercy will be here forever. There's one day, one little piece of time in all eternity when He's coming back to judge. And I mean, when He comes back to judge, the poop's going to hit the fan. Millions and millions and billions of people are going to die. And on that day, we got to be on His side. Or we're going to die with Him. He is not playing games. All right, amen. Okay, somebody here want to have something to share? Hang on a second. I think Joey has something, or somebody has something.
Oh, Dan. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Greeting, guys. I got a little scripture here. Jesus said in Mark 13, 19-37. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to skip around here. For those days shall be tribulation, such as there hath not been the like from the beginning of the creation, which God created until now, and never shall be. And except the Lord had shortened the days, no flesh would have been saved. Elect's sake, whom He chose, He shortened the days. Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. It is as when a man sojourning in another country, having left his house and given authority to his servants to each one his work, commanded also the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for ye know not when the Lord of the house cometh, whether at even or at midnight or at cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. As we've had times of discussions here in the living room at the house about what's going on in the Middle East, about what's going on even here in the United States, etc. As we kind of ponder about the condition of this nation, there were some things that was mentioned that is rather saddening as we look back in history from the time America was a beautiful nation for some period of time. I don't know exactly the nature of its turning point and its downslide, but it is indeed a very unfortunate thing to believe and to have to believe and to mention about the sad transformation of this great nation that's basically leading to destruction. I remember I was at work one time at McDonald's, and on the radio, somebody was singing the song America the Beautiful. I was saddened and grieved all of a sudden how the song no longer applies to this nation. It has saddened me personally how God and His hand on the founding fathers for the establishment of the United States, constructed by the biblically inspired document of the American Constitution, and now out come a piece of land governed by socialists and communists, governmental seats and other various federal employment positions are filled with sodomites and possibly terrorists. And this country, and though I can't prove it, but strongly believe, is being manipulated by global businessmen on steroids, and also our cities are now like Sodom and Gomorrah. People of different walks of day-to-day life are sadly walking in such self-delusion about this world. They believe the economy is only in a fluctuation process, and it will spring right back up to normal, and we can get right back into business as usual. A number of Christians, bad enough, are on the verge of a rude awakening against their false hope of eternal security that licensed them, and in fact empowers them, to love their lives, which means to love this world and be comfortable with their Christian religion. They are being sucked in with the violent stream of evil around them, while blinding themselves with their little Christian religion. There are conspiracy theorists, patriots, and Christians who rightly have a love for this country, particularly Christian believers today who's praying for revival in this nation. There are those who's trying to impact and turn this nation around by colonizing different levels of our society in universities, business, governmental positions, etc. There is a movement of different sorts and angles that's trying to save this nation and reform it to become a better America, to say the least. However, since these movements are sadly 50 to 60 years late in the game, as we see the nature of one generation to another that's growing worse and worse, waxing in wickedness at zero intention, no intention of slowing down, as I was thinking about some of the things that Dan has been saying about the hopeless condition of this nation, I'd say, amen, and bring it on. Let this wicked generation get what it lusts after. Instead of trying to rally up and campaigning for its survival and conversion, this nation has chosen a Muslim unnatural being, an evil creature from who knows where. It sure is not from America. This generation will never repent. They do not even care about the most practical, simple truth concerning Obama's qualification to be a president that's based on the very principles that made this nation great in the eyes of God by the hand of the forefathers. The people and politicians, judges and leaders of this land has made the Constitution of the United States of America completely void and swallowed up every false hopes that Obama has been offering them instead. Let all the genuine Christians of this nation separate themselves and set their hearts right with God concerning His judgments for this nation, because that is the only destiny for this once was home of the brave, but now have been turned into a pig pen for the slave. Let the Christians get ready for persecution. Get ready and prepare for the worst of the worst. Get ready for a great shaking. Get ready for fire. Get ready for the slaughtering of this nation, and let the false, coward, fence-sitters, hucksters of all levels, who pretend like they love justice and truth, they pretend to love freedom and liberty, they pretend to love people, but they only love the people's money and themselves. They even pretend to love God and this country. Let a shaking, let any radical destruction come forth in full force, so that the great pretenders and deceivers of the political world can be exposed, and let the fire of tribulations force Christians to make a decision, either to stand up for the kingdom of God or make a deliberate choice to take those who go down into the pit. Let there be a clear distinction between the Lord's army and people from the sons of hell. May there be intense shaking that will cause a separation, the wicked being given over to their lusts and desires without remedy, and let the shaking strengthen those who fear the Lord. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved or shaken, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. It is so important, therefore, for all of us in this room tonight, who live in the U.S. or anywhere, to make a conscious decision day by day to have God's attitude about what's going on in this nation, what's going on with God's beloved nation Israel, and be prepared for God's coming judgments against all the wicked nations of the world. The more acts of evil, the more hatred and murder, the robbing and dividing of God's land, the more intensity of the attacks of anti-Semitism at all levels coming against the nation of Israel, as we see it progressively increasing today, the more we can anticipate God's power and divine wrath against these enemies of the kingdom of God. It is critically important, and it is fatally, fatally imperative to take inventory of what needs to be cut off in our lives, even in our hearts. We should be ready to cut off family relatives that so easily entraps us, cut off friends and business partners, cut off spouses, girlfriends and boyfriends, fiancés. We should be ready to cut off all natural relationships that sucks the spiritual life out of us because of Adamic and emotional soulish feelings that stimulates our hearts to love this world and this life. God has chosen His people not to love this life in this world, but to lose it. If we are not free from these things, they will blind us from understanding the plans and purposes of God, let alone obey His will to properly follow Jesus as Lord and Master. It will blind anyone from seeing God's work in the earth, especially when the God of the Old Testament, who is the same God of today, is ready to pour out His wrath upon us, destroying this world system as we know it. It's time to engage in the Holy Ghost and make conscious decisions to separate from all natural relationships that will not comply to God's program of living and preparation process for His coming judgments. These soulish attachments that causes us to be deceived about ourselves and causes us to backslide from God must be cut off and be purged. The coming judgments of God is not just for the wicked nations. God will also have a place for Christians who allow their idols, such as the few aforementioned, to conform them according to their image of their worldly lusts, their Adamic lusts. Okay, anything that takes God's place of priority in our lives is nothing less than idols that qualifies believers, that's Christian believers, okay, to be condemned by God. The Lord says idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the God of the New Testament lists idolaters among the Sodomites, the fornicators and adulterers in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Just as our decisions in the past determine where we are today, our decision day by day from this point will determine whether we will be a part of God's kingdom or the part of the kingdom of darkness. What you've been doing in the past to get you where you're at in your condition today, bad or good, should tell me or give me a practical foreknowledge of where you're going in your future condition if you keep doing the very same thing. If you're keeping the very same friends and relationships that's been pulling you down, if you're not laying down the worldly ambitions, interests, and values of this life that's been hindering you from coming forth in the fullness of Jesus, you will never ever come to a place of change and transformation for the kingdom of God unless there is a turning point of responding to the truth of your condition and you take yourself out to war and slay all of the lovely and cute but violent and deceptive enemies of your soul that keeps you from attaining God's high calling. In the light of what is going on in this world and knowing that God is coming as a man of war to take vengeance against the enemies of His people, we should be taking up arms in the full armor of God and be ready to call things for what they are and treat them how God wants us to treat and deal with them by the power of the Spirit. We should have an attitude in the Lord to be able to say to our natural relationships, "Hey, this is your hell-bound condition. I am going on in the fullness of God. I cannot change you in your love for death. And I will not let you change me. I will not allow you to influence or defile me. I will only be changed and be transformed by God according to the likeness of Jesus. And I will prepare myself in the Lord to serve in the army of God. And I want to be used of God to demolish all those who hate God and His people. Therefore, I will never have any part of you and your love for this wicked world. I believe in order to be a people without fear in these coming tribulations, we must lose all worldly attachments in our souls and place our security and treasures in the bosom of the Father alone." That's what Jesus did. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. I commit myself unto my Father who judgeth righteously." When we recklessly dump ourselves into the hand of God in childlike faith, we become fearless. God wants us to be humble but fearless in the difficult days ahead. He did not give us the spirit of fear and phobia. God called us to tremble in the holy fear of the Lord that works obedience in us and causes us to love Him and co-labor with Him in the times of coming judgment and destruction and advance the manifestation of his kingdom and government and trample over all other governments of the world. Amen. Good night.
Amen.
Amen, bro.
Hang on a second. We got Cameron here. He wants to share.
Thank you, Dan. You got me all fired up. Okay, so a point you brought out there about the guy who thought it would be fun to watch the end times here in the clouds, and the commenting on that of how he said, oh, they're just all haters and they like seeing blood. Well, I got news for him that I hope as well, like Dan said, to be a part of what Jesus is going to do. I hope to stand by his side with a sword. So I don't know what they think of that, but that's exactly how I feel. And another point I was thinking earlier about how the Palestinians think they need a state. And that's why I think a lot of people are also against Israel, is because they think Palestinians need a state. So Israel's got this tiny little state, while Arab has, I don't know what it is, like 600 times more land than Israel. Why can't the Arabs give the Palestinians a little hunk of land? Why do they have to take Israel? I'll tell you why. Because they want Israel dead. They want the Jews ran into the sea. I hope to do protesting this year, and I want to hold a banner that says, from the river to the sea, leave Israel be. All right, all. That's all I had to share. Thank you.
Okay. Amen. Thank you for that. Anybody else here? No? Okay. Well, one comment here. You know, we're not encouraging people to go out and murder anybody, right? We're just saying that when God comes back, if you're part of that army, whatever part we play, people are going to die as a result. I mean, we're not piling up guns here and going to have, you know, go out and shoot people. But there is going to be a bloodbath, a literal bloodbath. Jesus is going to be in control of it. And whatever part we had to play, we're going to play. Amen? And it's going to be just, and it's going to be righteous. It's not going to be any fleshly anger or malice or hatred. It's going to be a holy hatred for the unrighteous and the wicked. And hopefully we'll all be ready for that day. Amen? I want to say a couple things here. Sister Jan, I got your email. I did see that last week, that they're taking, it's not the English versions, it's from the Muslim versions. I think they're printing Bibles over in Turkey and somewhere else. They're taking the Father and the Son out of the Muslim Arabic versions of the Bible, so they don't offend the Muslims. Jan sent me a little alert on that. I did see that, so thanks anyway. And Sister Lisa's here. I think Sister Lisa's going to come down for a visit this week. So you can pray for us as she comes down. The Lord's will be done in that area. Okay, I guess that's it for this week. Anybody have anything to add? K-Man says, the Muslims believe that God cannot have a son. That's right. They do not believe Jesus was the Son of God. They do not believe he raised from the dead. They believe somebody else was crucified instead of Jesus. And they don't believe God has a son. The Arabic versions of the Bible, they're taking it out so it doesn't offend them. And they're just going to make sure that every Muslim who reads that Bible is going to go to hell anyway. That's what being a wimp and being afraid to offend does. You destroy people. Every Muslim who reads that Bible, he's not going to go to heaven. He's not going to get saved. You cannot come to the Father except through the Son. And you take the Son out of the equation, you're damned. You can't be saved. So all they're doing is making sure all those Muslims who read those Bibles are damned. That's a shame. It's a tragedy. And they're going to answer for all that blood. Don't think those Muslims are going to go to hell alone. Okay. Last chance. Anybody else before we shut her down? Well, I guess we'll see you next week. Thanks for coming. And keep us in prayer this week. And we'll see you next week. God willing, in a river, don't rise.